This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:16 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition. And we're talking today about how a recent study basically found that 46% of Malaysian employees are either dissatisfied or very dissatisfied with their current pay package, basically. And this has to do with a number of different things, including the expectation that isn't being met of getting increments. So we want to know, do you identify with this? Do you relate to it? Also, when was the last time you got an increment and how did you get there? Did you ask for it? You want to share any tips? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line with us is Siti Aisha Tumin, who is a research associate at Khazanah Research Institute. Her current research actually focuses on regional labour markets, decent work and non-standard forms of employment in Malaysia. Siti, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm going to ask you the same question that we've been asking people, which is, do the findings of the survey align with what you found in your own research?
So just to caveat a little bit, I think my research looks at slightly different things, whereas, you know, Hayes looks at things like job satisfaction. I try to answer a more, I think, basic question, whether the jobs are decent for Malaysians in general. And to some aspect, I think there are some similarities in terms of, the basic question of whether the pay is good enough, whether it is satisfactory. And our own research looks and found that, you know, about, say, 34% of households are not earning enough to lead a decent lifestyle, a decent living wage. And in fact, about like 28% of workers also earn about two-thirds of median income. So these are incomes about, you know, less than 1,200 ringgit Malaysia. And if you compare the numbers that Malaysia has to other countries, other more advanced countries like South Korea and Japan, our percentages are quite high. So in a way, there is a subset of the population that are not earning high enough for a decent living condition. And therefore, I think, you know, the whole question of whether pay is good enough, merit some consideration here in line with what Hayes has been saying.
So that sounds perhaps that the dissatisfaction in salary increments from this survey seems to be rooted in the reality on the ground as opposed to just it being a matter of perception.
I guess so. I think if you just look purely at the numbers, right, you do find, you know, for example, wage growth seem to grow in line with inflation. If not, sometimes, you know, a little bit higher. But I think we are also looking at issues beyond just the labour market. So, for example, in the point of view of a worker, you might earn higher wages every year, but your cost of living is also increasing. And in that sense, you always feel that the wage is not good enough. So the perception is there, but the perception, I think, is rooted in a much more structural circumstances of the economy and how we are doing as a country in general.
Yeah, exactly. So in light of that, right, this idea of fair compensation, I think, is an interesting one, because how would you define it? Obviously, from the point of view of the company versus the employee, they might have very, very different notions of what that looks like.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you asked quite a difficult question there, because fair means different things for different people. Of course, I think there needs to be more discussion on what we consider as a fair thing. Estimates of, say, decent living wages, I think, are a good start to kind of think about what it means to have the bare minimum for a household or for an individual to lead a decent life. But I think in my own personal opinion, I think there needs to be greater linkages between the wages that you earn with the productivity that you show at work. So Malaysia for some years now have adopted productivity linked wage system. But unfortunately, I think based on claims by the government, not a lot of firms are part of this system. So I think the question is why firms are not not linking wages with productivity. And perhaps if more work and more advocacy is done in terms of, you know, making firm link wages better to productivity, perhaps we can see some positive outcomes on the side of workers. But I also want to bring it back to some of the findings of my own research, which is on decent work, especially in terms of thinking about fair payment or fair remuneration. We also, for example, found that, you know, workers who are in sectors where, you know, injury rates are much, much higher, say you think of, you know, things like construction, for example, they don't necessarily earn that much higher income anyways. So I think that, for me personally, kind of begs the question, you know, some workers in the economy are also exposed to risks that are much higher than everyone else. And these workers are not compensated for those kind of risks that they take. So I think this is another angle of fair remuneration that we highlighted in our upcoming work, and I think should be part of the conversation as well when we talk about fairness.
What is the average salary in Malaysia, both for the private and public sectors, and how do they compare?
So the estimate that we have is actually based on official statistics released by the Department of Statistics. And for a Malaysian citizen, the median wage is about 2,300. But if you take into account inflation, that's about 1,900. And it, just on the level basis, that's quite low, it seems. But unfortunately, we don't have the breakdown between private and public sector. And we also at KRI don't have access to much detailed breakdown. So we don't know the differences between public and private, but we do know in terms of sectoral differences. So some sectors, you know, like modern services, your finance, your real estate, do earn a much higher median salary. So that is about 2,700 to about 3,000 ringgit per month. But, you know, in sectors where most of our workers are at, for example, wholesale and retail and food and beverages sectors, they earn about just 1,300 to 1,500 per month. And if you want to contextualize these numbers, think of, again, I go back to the estimates by Bank Negara Malaysia as well as EPF on what it means to earn decently, which is about, say, for example, you're a single individual with a car, it's about 2,500. These wages certainly do not support that kind of decent lifestyle, unfortunately.
And while we're comparing, I suppose, related in some ways to this message that just came from Eddie, who says, I was told an operator in Bern earns around 5,000 euros. That tells you how far we are from developed countries. Do we know how Malaysia's salary increment rates compare to other markets in Asia as well as the world? And also, I suppose, whether it is actually fair to compare it to countries that earn at that level?
So the kind of figures that I look at right now, if I just look at, for example, International Labour Organization estimates of wage growth, the globally, actually, wage growth is quite slack. So you have wage growth at about just 1.8% in 2017. And for Malaysia itself, our wage is about like 3 to 4%. So in a way, it is slightly higher in that sense. But to go back to your question about this comparing between a Malaysian worker and a worker in Germany, I think there's a lot of consideration there because obviously we're talking about two potentially identical workers. They have the same skill set, same qualification, same ability, you know, hypothetically, but they live in completely different circumstances. So in Germany, you have different living costs, you have different production and economic structure that allows the firms to pay that amount. You also have, say, for example, things like whether workers have bargaining power over how much they earn in Germany. So things like this actually goes into the eventual income that you receive. So in a way, I think comparing between two different workers of similar job might be a little bit misleading. But point taken, I think it gives us a direction of where we want to go, which is definitely improving how much our workers are remunerated for the kind of work that they do.
Of course, there are other issues that feed into employment beyond salaries. How comprehensive are benefits for employees in Malaysia?
This is actually an area of research that we have not looked into that comprehensively at KRI, unfortunately, but I think more work needs to be done in this area. But I think some consideration that we need to think of when we talk about, you know, employee benefits, you know, things like whether you receive some insurance coverage, some medical coverage, you know, the mandatory EPF and SOCSO coverage and whatnot. It's also to look at workers who are not necessarily in this kind of system. So at least for Malaysia, we know about 10% of the workforce, that's about 1.4 million workers, are actually outside the formal sector. So, you know, despite it just being 10%, I think the coverage of these workers as well, I think something that we should look into because they are completely out of whatever scheme that we discuss, that Hayes discussed in their report.
Siti, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Siti Aishatumin, Research Associate at Khazanah Research Institute, or KRI, weighing in on this report that says that 46% of Malaysians are either dissatisfied or very dissatisfied with their pay. And so we wanted to know whether you relate to that, and also when was the last time that you actually received an increment and how did you get there? Because one of the main factors here actually has been that very thing, the fact that there have been people expecting or asking for increments and not getting it. So that feeds into the dissatisfaction. And on that note, on messages, we have, first of all, this from April.
Both my boss and CEO signed approval for a proposed 10% hike, only to be denied by the board. Also, I accidentally found out the gross compensation of the previous two guys that held my current title. I'm definitely suspecting gender discrimination here. My subordinate, that's the three rank below me, is about to surpass my pay in two more increment cycles. No words can describe how dissatisfied I was.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And that, I think, speaks to a couple of things. Firstly, the importance of That exact thing, when you expect an increment, partly because you know the system of your company, which is what it sounds like here with April, you know that there will be increment cycles, that there will be recommendations, and you don't get it. If there isn't the numbers to back up why you're not getting it, then I can only imagine. But the other thing is also, I've always thought that it would be good for everybody to know a little bit more clearly how much we each earn in an organization. But I think that when it comes with the baggage of not changing other parts of the system, this is how it can play out, right, potentially, where you find out what other people earn and you think, are you kidding me?
Well, that's actually a good thing, right? Because if we had pay transparency here where we know who is earning what within a company, that's very helpful, especially for groups who might be traditionally discriminated because of whatever reason, right? We talked about how accents can affect your pay. Here in this situation, it might be about gender. Well, if you know, then you know the fight that you can put up and the reasoning you can give to support and back up the fight you want to get a higher salary.
Yeah, which comes back to what we were talking about also about how it is that you ask for increments. Do you go at it with numbers, right? Like, I've given you this much of my KPI. I know that these people earn this much. Yeah. This is what I deserve. John, simply put, dissatisfied and working in an American multinational. Let us know your thoughts. Do you identify with the results of the survey that found that 46% of Malaysians are dissatisfied or very dissatisfied with their pay package? Let us know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.